Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
The studies have shown that vulva owners who reach for lube have more sexual satisfaction. And in fact, they report higher levels of pleasure compared with women who didn't use it, according to a study from Indiana University.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. I have a dream, and that dream is a lube on every nightstand. I mean, seriously, just a few drops of lube can transform your sex life and amplify the amount of pleasure. But I get it. It can be difficult to know which kind of lube is best suited for you and your needs. So on today's show, I break down the best lubes for all kinds of sex, from masturbation, penetration, oral sex, anal sex. I talk about the products that are safe for vulvas and penis owners and some household items that are better kept in the kitchen than inside of you. I also discuss what it really means when you're wet and when you're not wet, what you can expect after having a baby, how penis size changes, and why it doesn't really matter anyway. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention. What do I mean by this? Well, when you're listening, think about what you want to get out of this episode. My intention is to explain the difference between different kinds of lube and what makes it so great for your sex life and how you can use it effectively. Oh, also, I have an announcement. I'm really excited for this. I'll be doing a virtual live podcast on April 15th, and you're all invited, no matter where you're at. You can all join me. It's going to be a blast, I can answer your questions live during the show, and it's interactive. We're going to have like polls and quizzes and giveaways. It's only $10 for the live podcast experience, or you can pay $100 and get a live one-on-one meet and greet with me. To find out more information, go to loopedlive.com. That's L-O-O-P-E-D live.com. Just go to upcoming experiences and scroll down. And I can't wait to see you there. All right, everyone. Remember, you can find me in all social media at Sex with Emily. Across the board, send your questions to feedback@sexwithemily.com and enjoy the show. Let's talk about lube or lubricant for a minute. I've been talking about lube for years. In fact, one of my missions is a lube on every nightstand. I've even hashtagged that, lube on every nightstand, because lube is really enhancement to pleasure in a relationship. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. But we did a survey sponsored by Pure Lube, and we asked you guys a lot of questions about better sex. We got over 8,000 responses. And what we found is the majority of you said that you don't use lube, and you weren't sure why. And I thought, how are you my listeners? Although I also know that I get so many questions from you every day. Which lube should I use? And what's the best lube? And tell me more about lube. So I just wanted to cover some of the basics of lube and thank everyone for taking the survey. And hopefully after this episode, you're going to realize that lube can be an incredible addition to your sex life. Let me just cover the studies, all right? The studies have shown that vulva owners who reach for lube have more sexual satisfaction. And in fact, they report higher levels of pleasure compared with women who didn't use it, according to a study from Indiana University related to the Kinsey Institute, which is the leading institute on sex. Why do vulva owners like it? Because the extra slip and slide makes sex more satisfying and more comfortable. And remember, if you don't use lube, it can cause you to be dry, you can get sore, you could tear, you can get a yeast infection. And so I want to just reiterate that how wet you are is not always an indicator of arousal, meaning you could be really aroused and really turned on, but not wet. Or you might be really wet and not at all turned on. You might also be wet at the beginning of any sexual play, and then a few minutes later or 20 minutes later, you're not wet. Now, here's what could affect wetness. The amount of natural lubrication is related to your estrogen cycles, which are fluctuating throughout the month, and they're highest around the time of ovulation. Our age also has an impact. Our stress levels, if we're really stressed, if we're stressed about our relationship or work, that can cause decreased libido and blood flow, making it difficult to produce any moisture. Now listen, your health status, if you have any diseases like diabetes or going through chemotherapy, that can impact it. And medications. Listen, medications, if allergy, cold medications, antidepressants can all work against your natural lubrication. So why not just use a little bit of lube? So let's talk about the different kinds of lube real quick. Water-based lube. This is by far the safest lube if you're someone who has more sensitivity. 76% of you in the survey said when you do use lube, use water-based. Now, it's the most common type of lube. It's less likely to irritate sensitive skin. So if you're somebody with sensitivities, grab for the water-based. It feels and tastes like natural lubrication, safe to use with toys and condoms. The only thing to keep in mind is it can dry out relatively quickly. And I recommend Pure Lube. They have a few kinds you can choose from. Check that out. Silicone lube. 21% of you guys use silicone lube when you use lube. So a silicone lube typically just has one ingredient, and that is silicone. It lasts a lot longer. It stays slick and doesn't dry out for a while. Things to keep in mind, you just don't want to use it with silicone toys because it can break down the silicone. So Pure also makes a great one that you can try out, and so does Uberlube. We love Uberlube. Okay, oils. 12% of you use an oil-based lube. What it's good for is if you don't need to use condoms in a relationship, it can feel great to massage your partner, and it definitely stays longer. For oral sex, it can taste good too. Now, it also can stain your sheets, so just be wary of that. And things to keep in mind, you can't use oils with condoms or toys, and they can stain your sheets and clothing. And I love the oil-based from Woomore Play. I also like Foria. Okay, flavored lube. So flavored lube's great for oral sex. We love Muse Lube or System Joe, the same company. And get these before they're gone, you guys. They make a salted caramel, a creme brulee, and a mint chocolate. But System Joe, they have every flavor. They have fruits and berries and so many different flavors you can check out. And I just think it makes sex really fun. There's also warming and cooling lubes. Those are great for temperature play. And again, they're all about variety. We have so many nerve endings. It feels great to stimulate them with lube. System Joe also makes some great warming and cooling lubes. And then there's also CBD lubes, and a lot of those are made with coconut oil or other ingredients. And we love Foria because they make this awaken arousal oil, and they also just came out with a natural lubricant with CBD, which can also help with pain and help enhance arousal. So I would check those out. All right, so now how do you feel about lube? I'm a lube pusher. I just love it, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Let me know. How has lube changed your life? All right, time for your questions. If you'd like me to answer one on the show, you can go to sexwithemily.com/askemily, or you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. All you have to do is include your name, your gender identity, your location, your age, and how you listen to the show. It just helps me help you with that information. And I'm cool if you want to change your name. I just want to help you best. This is from Sarah, 37, in Virginia. Hey, Dr. Emily, I love your show. I want to know, are some penises just too big to have successful anal sex? My husband is obsessed with it, and we've tried lots of lube and butt plug prep work, but it's so uncomfortable for me. My husband is what you would describe an experienced lover. Lucky you, Sarah. I want to be able to please him the way he pleases me. I'm wondering what else we could do to make it more comfortable for me, or something to help me open up and relax. I think I suffer some sexual trauma from us trying this in the past. I've suffered horrible hemorrhoids that have plagued me for over a year. I'm willing to try again, but I don't want a repeat of that trauma to my body. Thanks so much. I love your show. All right, Sarah. Yeah, I mean, you didn't mention his size, but yes, there are some penises that for some anuses are just way too big or too girthy. And that might be a problem. And I'm wondering, it sounds like you had trauma in the past from him going in and it hurt. It sounds like you got hemorrhoids, or maybe there was some tearing, which, oh, I'm sorry that happened to you. So you're trying lube and you're trying butt plug prep work, which is all the things I would recommend. I'd recommend starting with a finger. And so I want to make sure that you're still not tensing up, because the really big thing here is relaxing. I mean, think about it. If someone's coming towards your anus and putting something inside of it, what's the first thing we're all going to do? We're going to clench. We're going to tense. We're going to tense our sphincter muscles. We're going to get nervous. Oh God, this is going to hurt. And so what I recommend for you is that you just practice breathing. Deep breaths where you're really relaxed. It can help to have an orgasm first, like a clitoral orgasm or any kind of orgasm first, so your body is aroused and you're in the moment and you're turned on. So I would recommend that. Sounds like you're using a lot of lube. I would reapply that and just make sure that you're not rushing it. So again, compare the last experience to this experience. If you got the hemorrhoids and you had trauma, what were you doing last time? Are you learning here from me something you could do differently? And that's really just breathing, making sure you're turned on and warmed up. But I can't tell you if he's too big because I'm not seeing his penis, but you don't need to send it to me. But you'll know, is it really girthy? That's usually the case. As always with all anal play, you have to breathe, go really slow, really, really slow, and use a lot of lube. So Sarah, I'll bet that you, if this isn't for you, you could find other ways to please him. Has he tried being anally penetrated? Have you got a prostate toy for him or a butt plug? I'm telling you, that pleases the majority of men. Might feel good. Might be able to trade up your anal play for his anal play. Just saying, Sarah. Just saying. This is from Cassidy 25. Hey, Dr. Emily, I love your show. I'm a longtime listener. I've been with my girlfriend for a year now, and we're starting to explore different sex toys. I mentioned buying a lube product, and she suggested coconut oil. She worries about the chemicals in regular lubes. I've done my research and find conflicting information surrounding coconut oil, so I wanted to see your thoughts on it. If you have any recommendations on an all-natural lube, it'd be greatly appreciated. Thanks so much, Emily. All right, Cassidy, thank you so much for listening to the show. And here's the thing. I know many people use coconut oil and they love it. They use it on their hair, their skin. They put it in their smoothie and they put it inside their vagina. So the thing about coconut oil is I don't recommend using just the store-bought coconut oil because that could also go bad. But it's just like everything else with lube that some vulvas don't react. They could put anything inside any kind of lube. They could even use the drugstore kind and they're fine. And then some women have more sensitivities. Coconut oil lube can be fabulous. I know that Foria, they make this intimacy natural lubricant with CBD, and their lube is just two ingredients. It's coconut oil and CBD. Can feel so great. You rub it in. It's a process. It might take a little bit to start to feel it, but I just think that it can be very, very healing. They also have Awaken, which is an arousal oil, also with CBD, that you rub in and can help her feel turned on. Try it and see how her pH balances and how she reacts to it. I just want to mention that if you're getting a silicone toy, you're not supposed to use oils or a silicone lube with toys, as it can break down the silicone. Now, you can clean it really carefully after. You know, I usually just use a little bit of soap and a washcloth, like a damp cloth. So I don't know how long you need a vibrator for it to break down, but that's what they recommend. So in that case, I would say just getting a great water-based lube. That's what I would try it out and just have fun. Listen, lube trying and testing and all that can be a really fun time. Thanks, Cassidy. Have fun trying. Dear Dr. Emily, my name's Amber. I'm 29 years old from Florida, and my marriage is rocky because my husband found out I cheated on him. We've been having our difficult moments, as you can imagine. One thing that is getting to him is the fact that I could get wet with the other person and never really able to get wet with him. I enjoy the sex with my husband. I'm attracted to him. I don't know what to say or do when he brings it up. I'm not in love with the guy I cheated with. It just was pure sex. I guess we both were going through difficult times with our marriages, and we got what we needed from each other. I've noticed my mind can be ready to have sex, but my vagina says otherwise. I don't mind using lube, but he's adamant about wanting me to be wet each time and doesn't want there to be lube. I don't know what else to do. I've had low estrogen in the past, so I don't know if this is an issue once again. Dr. Emily, what I'm trying to say is I need help to save my marriage. Okay, Amber, I'm here for you to save your marriage. Sounds like you guys are moving through this rocky time. Few questions for you. First, how does your husband know that you got really, really wet with the other guy? I'm assuming he wasn't there, and maybe you told him. So remember, sometimes we have to be careful about what we share with our partner. And I understand people cheat, happens all the time, but sometimes the details, you got to check it and say, do you want to know everything? Because, you know, listen, there's a lot that goes into wetness. It's not always an indicator of arousal, though. You could be super turned on and not at all wet, and you could be really wet and not turned on. So maybe this was a new partner and it was exciting and all your hormones were firing and you were able to get really wet. But I wouldn't get hung up on that because I don't know what kind of sex you were having. Maybe they were quickies or maybe it was another time in your life. Even if it was last year, our hormones change over time. If you've had low estrogen in the past, I would 100% get checked out by a hormone specialist and check it. Just let your husband know that these are the results. I have low estrogen. Low estrogen can be a direct cause of dryness. And so that's real. And I would just, if you could both kind of let go of that experience and focus on the sex that you're having in the moment, have him listen to this. Have him listen to a bunch of podcasts or go to our website. I talk about this all the time. But I understand why your husband thinks that using lube is making a grand statement about your actual feelings for him when it doesn't. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of my vulva-owning listeners can attest to the fact that there have been times where maybe you're wet at first and then you don't stay wet. It just fluctuates. It not only does it fluctuate, you have low estrogen, it can fluctuate with certain medications. And it can also fluctuate different times of month according to our cycles. So there's a lot going on here. And I just think that your husband is caught up in the fact that if you're not wet, it means you're not attracted to him or he's doing something wrong. And that can't be further from the case when it comes to wetness. You know, you can let him know and say, I hear what you're saying. I understand that you're equating my wetness level to my feelings for you, but that can't be further from the truth. Here's why. And let's try this lube. So that's what I recommend for you. And I'm really glad that you're working through this. Sometimes we just need a little bit of education and information, and hopefully the science will convince your husband otherwise. Thank you, Amber, for your question. Okay, so this is from Henry. I'm at the end of my wits. My girlfriend and I have been together for 8 years. We started having sex after we dated for about 1 year and 3 months. She was actually the one that seduced me. She came out of the shower with only a towel on, climbed on top of me and said, oops, as she let the towel fall off her. Then she said on top of me, we had sex, both of our first times. It happened fairly regularly. The past year, she's not interested in sex at all. And when we get to it, she's always complaining that I last too long and she's starting to hurt after a while. And she doesn't seem to enjoy it at all. I even tried getting her a bullet vibrator to stimulate her clitoris, but no luck. Apparently, that hurts her too. When we're done, she always cleans up and puts some ointment on because she says it feels like she's tore. And I use a lot of lube, and it doesn't work. We've been together 8 years, so we broke up for a year, and I dated a different girl, and I didn't have any trouble giving her orgasms with vibrators or lube, and she never complained that it hurt. Do you have an idea why my girlfriend could be so sensitive and yet not feel a thing? Any ideas on how to get her to want to have sex again? I want her to enjoy it because now I'm not enjoying it. She just lays there and lets me go at it. No moans, no fun, no excitement. She doesn't even get wet. All right, there could be a few things going on here, Henry. First off, have you ever talked to your girlfriend about what she thinks is going on with the pain? Women experience pain during sex. It's really, really common. The majority of women will experience pain at some point in their lives during sex. And for some women, it happens all the time. It's really common, but we don't often talk about it because we are ashamed or we're afraid that something's really wrong with us. It just means that she's got to get, you know, checked out. She'd go to a pelvic floor physical therapist. She could go to a gynecologist. Sometimes I found that a lot of them don't have as much information. So someone who specializes in vaginal health. I wish that every doctor could help women with this kind of pain, but they don't. Also, if she's not having any fun or moaning or excitement, my first thought is, well, yeah, she's in pain. So why she can't keep having sex if she's in pain? The other thing is, do you happen to know, and maybe she could share this with you, if she's ever had any sexual trauma? For some women, when they've experienced a trauma, they get into an unknown habit of clenching their pelvic floor and tightening, walking around constricted. And that could be going on for years if she had trauma, for example. And then when something tries to go inside of her, it could be a tampon or a penis or a finger, they have excruciating pain. And it's something that can go very unchecked, and doctors don't really understand it because of the, you know, externally, if you check someone out, everything looks fine, their tissues look good, you know, it's just more about internal pelvic floor health. And so that's what I would recommend. You can let her know that you called in. You guys can listen to this show. We've done a lot of shows on sex and pain. One with Heather Jeffcoat, Jeffcoat. We've done a few episodes with her and we really get into this. So you're not doing anything wrong. I also understand why it's frustrating. We don't want a partner just to lay there. So I want her to be empowered and to know that she can go out and figure out her diagnosis. And you could let her know that you care so much about her health and her physical health and her emotional health, and you'd love her to talk to a specialist to see what she can do. Okay? That's the way to handle it, Henry. I'm going to take a quick break, but when I come back, I'm talking to Megan, whose sex life has slowed down a bit since having a baby. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. We have Megan, 35, in Wyoming. Hi, Megan. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hi. So I am 7 months postpartum. Oh my gosh, this year is a dumpster fire. I'm having so much stress and anxiety. I can't handle things at work. I can't handle stress at home. Having a new baby and working, it's all so stressful. And I went into the doctor and she's like, oh, honey, you have zero testosterone and your thyroid's out of control. And so my question for you is, because I didn't ask her this, sex has obviously been non-existent. Mm-hmm. And so after the testosterone, like once we get the thyroid addressed, like how soon would that drive come back? Does it come back? Like, what do you know about
it? Does come back. It can come back, you know. Well, it doesn't help that you're 7 months postpartum, but then also the added on the stress of new baby and you're still working and you're with your husband.
Yeah. Just managing the hormones and stress and everything else. I'm happy that like we've kind of found what's going on, but the stress of COVID for sure has put a strain on our relationship, right?
Yes. Yeah. Megan, so what did your doctor say?
Is there
say,
anything
though?
I can be doing now to like help with that piece of it?
With the piece about desire, about actually being in the mood for sex?
Yeah. Cause it's just like, I guess I'm kind of, it wasn't there. And I'm like, well, that kind of explains it because testosterone plays a huge part in that, correct?
It does. Yes. Have you had sex at all since you gave birth?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's been kind of painful and I mean, like enjoyable because I love my husband, but it wasn't like it was.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you that you're going to get it back, that you will. It does come back. How is your communication with your husband right now? Like, do you feel connected? I know you said you want to have sex to because you love your husband, but how's your intimacy besides just sex? Like, do you guys do other things to connect? Are you still intimate, hand-holding, whatever it is you require? Is he helping you with the new baby? Do you feel he's, you know, are there any resentments of building, essentially, is what I'm asking. Okay.
I think there is, like, he's the most wonderful father, and he takes very good care of him. And he's helping me with all of that. He's super supportive of all the stress
love
and anxiety
it.
And stuff. But it's almost one of those things where you talk so much about your life and the stress and the anxiety that you're feeling. And now like explaining the hormones piece of it, like he doesn't even try and neither do I. Like, and that's like all aspects of like just, and we've never been a super touchy feely couple to begin with.
Okay. So that's okay. If you're both okay with that. I mean, I think it's kind of interesting that you both aren't really initiating. That's actually, I don't know. I think that's a good situation because now I can help you like from this place of, you know, what can you guys do together to kind of make sure that you prioritize intimacy? So my question, Megan, have you talked about this sex component with your husband yet?
Yeah, I think it's come up, but not always in the best way.
Okay.
Like more of a, maybe if we're fighting or if there is something going on, you know, and then it gets brought up of how like we don't even engage in like intimacy anymore in the bedroom or anything
that. Yeah. Well, I have to say,
more communication needs to be had.
Yes. Well, you know, I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but I cannot say this enough, how important it is for couples to communicate about their sex life. And my tips are always timing, tone, and turf. And you don't talk about it in the bedroom. So that's the first thing, turf. You actually don't talk about it right after sex didn't happen or you're frustrated. So it's turf is outside the bedroom. When you're hanging out, you're in a good place because the tone has to be curious and sort of more light, like let's figure out what we can do to prioritize our sex life, talking about your sex life in a way that is not defensive and angry. And the timing is when neither one of you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, halt, which might be hard to find some of that space right now. But to say to him, babe, I really want to figure out a way. I know we're not having sex because you might not even realize it, Megan, but when couples stop connecting sexually, they kind of can think about it's a whole bunch of other things, but you guys need that. That is the sex is the fuel. It's the energy. It's going to keep your intimacy alive. And so you actually require it. It's not just, oh, we should just cross sex off the list. You need that to connect. So, you know, I think that talking to him and saying, well, what can we do? You know what? You might another, I have a few tips for you or a few ways to start that conversation, because for most couples, this is not an easy conversation to have. Could you talk to him and say, well, let's talk about times that sex was great. You could start off by saying, let's talk about like three of the most memorable times we've had sex. And then you could write that down. You could swap notes. You could say like, let's talk about times we were both in the mood. You know, how, what, can you remember any of those off the bat or when sex, when your sex life was in the groove, what was happening? What did it look like?
You
what
know,
time of day was it?
There's just so many things have changed this year too. Is like our big thing was traveling, right? Mm-hmm. And like hotels and fun dinners and I think it's almost more like we need to somehow recreate that in our own home. and like get the baby out. Because with COVID, this is making everything very difficult, right? And not that it never happened in the house. Like, believe me, it always did. But like now there's all these other responsibilities around it. And with COVID, it's so hard to even get someone to watch your baby.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, I was going to ask that next. So just know that I hear this from couples all the time that it could take about a year until you get your sex life back in track. So do you have anyone who can watch him? Like, do you guys make time for just the two of you where you say, we're going to turn off our phones, we're not going to talk about our baby, we're going to take time for each other? Or even a close friend could watch? Could you do that? Could you take?
Yeah.
I mean, this might sound cliche, but literally getting someone to watch you and getting a hotel room for a few hours or getting out of the familiar zone of your home. What a lot of couples need is the variety. But for you right now, it just might be switching up locations, feeling free, feeling that, you know, it's hard when you have a baby because there's always something else now of concern, right? You're like, is the baby sleeping and is everything okay? And you're exhausted. So I think the combination of just starting the conversation and making sure that you find a time that's great for both of you. And if you're having pain, that's going to be hard too. So perhaps finding ways to still please each other. I don't know how you feel about oral sex or using toys together, you know, mutual masturbation.
Yeah.
Was there ever any of that before?
Yeah, there was.
Okay.
And like lubes and different other things that
lubes are very important.
Like probably reintroduce. So
I would introduce lube. I mean,
that was the first thing that we started with, which that did help the last time. Because the first couple of times, like we were trying and it was just like not happening. So,
And I have to tell you, Megan, that the thing about lube, and again, I am a huge proponent of lube. I think that couples shouldn't even think about having sex without lube for every sexual activity because your wetness level, how wet you are, has nothing to do with your arousal. And especially when it's so inconsistent for women, even women who didn't just give birth, it changes different times a month. You know, certain times a month were wetter than others. And so a lubricant will make sure that you are lubed up enough and that there isn't pain. You can put a few drops on your clitoris, a few drops on his penis before you have sex, and there's more pleasure because when we use lube during sex, women are more likely to have orgasms and they're more likely to have pleasure. The other thing I'm going to throw out there is scheduling sex. It's really important to know if you guys both know that this is the time, it's going to be Saturday night, we're getting a babysitter, we're taking time for it. Then you can kind of look forward to that because when our brain isn't on board with sex and our brain is anxious and worried about other things, there's no room for the sex to happen. There's no desire for the sex to happen. Mm-hmm. So talking to him about it, planning it could be some great first steps until you feel the hormones kick in and you have your appointment.
Can I ask you a question about the wetness and the
anything
like orgasms, whatever? Like, why was it? Because it was never an issue beforehand. Right. So then you're just saying that the hormones could have just knocked that out, or is it still like maybe I'm like the wrong time of month that we're having
everything?
It's everything.
It changes every year, every month, every decade being a woman, sometimes every few years. You know what? I'm telling you, you're 35. It just changes. Go easy on yourself that they're fluctuating. Definitely your hormones are different when you're pregnant than afterwards. So all I can tell you, it has nothing to do with your partner or the way that you think about him or the way that you think about sex. It has everything to do with hormones. Your wetness level has everything to do. So all I can tell you is maybe it wasn't a problem before because the certain times a week, maybe you had enough arousal and foreplay, but for a lot of times and right now, I can tell you for sure it is your hormones, but you're going to see that it just starts to change. And especially in our 30s and 40s and 50s, it just birth control pill can also impact women's lube. No, you're not getting old, but you're getting to a point where it would just be helpful to understand your hormones and your cycle and not to beat yourself up. It's nothing you're doing wrong. It's nothing he's doing wrong. And maybe he needs to educate himself around this as well, because so many men believe that there's something wrong with like the way he's turning you on and that's why you're not wet. And that is not the issue.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that would be a good part of our conversation. Like if we're going to have this conversation coming up,
I think you
can prepare. And for that, because we both, I think, just been a little disappointed when we have engaged. Like, it's just like, it's not like it used to be.
It will be, though, again. It will be the way it used to be. But it might not be as wet as it used to be. And that could be age. Yeah. Now, when you're pregnant the last 9 months, you might have had more lubricant. So all I'm telling you is just let them know. Hormones, lube, all of it. Figure out what you guys can do together. You can both figure out what works for you both, okay?
Okay.
All right, Megan, thanks for calling. I'm here for you. You can give me a call with anything. This is from Libby24. Hey, Dr. Emily, I love your show. I've been listening to it nonstop and feel both empowered and curious. Yay. I'm in a monogamous relationship with a male. And after listening to your podcast, I want to surprise him with a masturbation sleeve. I know it's a toy he'd love to try, if he hasn't already, and I'd love to order one along with some lube and have it sent to his house with a fun, sexy message. Love this idea. Ideally, it'd be a toy he can use solo, but also one we could use together. What masturbation sleeve and lube would you recommend for a first-time buyer user? I look forward to your advice. So essentially, for everyone, a masturbation sleeve, or a stroker, as they call it, every masturbation sleeve can feel different depending on the material and if it vibrates or it doesn't vibrate, but typically the sleeves are lined with bumps and ridges to create a sensation other than your hand. Because a lot of guys are like, well, I use my hand. Why do I need something else? It's just kind of a fun, like, why not use something else? If you use your hand every day, why not experience another way? I really love masturbation sleeves. And so what I would recommend is Tenga, T-E-N-G-A, has been in the business of masturbation sleeves for a long time. And they make ones that are these little eggs that you can dispose of. They're like one-time use. And they also make masturbation sleeves. Some vibrate, some don't. There's also one that's brand new. It's called Arc Wave. And it's a masturbation sleeve that also stimulates the frenulum, which is that incredible spot on the underside of the penis where the shaft meets the head. And it has a little vibration right there. It's like a vibrator and a masturbation sleeve. So those are some options for you. I would check out those brands. As far as lube goes and you want to use it together, I would recommend a water-based lube, because if it's a silicone masturbation sleeve, you're not supposed to use silicone lube with a silicone toy because it can break down the material of the toy. So I'd recommend something like Pure makes a great water-based lube. They have a bunch of different formulas. So I would check some of those out. You're a great girlfriend. That is such a fun gift. And I think it'd be fun to use it together, because he could use his masturbation sleeve and you could masturbate on your own, and you could do a little hot, sexy mutual masturbation sesh. I'm all about it. Thanks for your question, Libby. I appreciate it. All right. This is from Sarah Jacqueline, 54. Dear Dr. Emily, at what age is one stop getting wet and what do you do after? I'm going to be 54 in 3 weeks. I'm single. My sex drive is so high that it made me research, at what age will I stop getting wet? There was no specific answers, only that average age of menopause is 51. And then I thought, I'm 54, so now what? I hope it never stops, of course. I'm not in my 20s, but TMI, I still am really wet and think about sex like a daily routine. I hope you can give me some feedback. All right, Sarah, here's the deal. You are fortunate that you haven't experienced any of the dryness and discomfort that a lot of vulva owners have as they reach perimenopause and menopause, which for some women can last 10 years. It can start in their late 30s, early 40s, and go to mid to late 50s. And so first I want to say, not every woman experiences it the same. In fact, if you put a bunch of women in a room and ask them about their perimenopausal or menopausal symptoms, you'd find that they're all different. Some women have hot flashes. Some women have night sweats. Some women have a lot of pain. Some women don't get as wet. And some women are like you. So honestly, what you do when it does happen, I always think that even just adding a few drops of lube to any sexual situation helps to enhance arousal. If you start experiencing pain or night sweats that are really disturbing, you get your hormones checked, you go to a hormone specialist, which I've found is sometimes better than a traditional gynecologist, because they can test, they can give you estrogen or supplement with other hormones, perhaps bioidentical hormones, depending on what your side effects are. Another thing that happens is the loss of estrogen makes our vaginal walls tend to get thinner, and that can cause vaginal atrophy and pain. But it sounds like you are in a great place, Sarah. So thanks for the question and keep doing you. After the break, I'm talking to Mark, who's looking for advice on helping his wife get in the mood for sex. So then we got Mark calling in now. Mark, 54. Hey, Mark. Thanks for calling. Mark's got a question too.
I'm so happy to get through, and I got to say, I'm a real fan of your show, and I have a long drive, and you really keep me busy, and it's just, it's really nice to hear what you have to say. And I'm just wondering, because, you know, even though I might be a tad on the smaller side, when I do get an erection, like, I'm kind of surprised how big it grows. So I'm just curious, like, are there different, like, even though your penis could be one size, when you get an erection, could you have an erection where you actually are quite big.
Well, yeah. It's like the grower versus the shower, right? That's the part of getting erection is getting bigger. I mean, some people show it and some people grow it. So, yeah, I mean, I think that for many men, when they get hard, it's a lot bigger than you would think. That's common. Is that your question? Is that what you mean? Did I get that?
Yeah. That's one of my questions because, you know, I thought after I do grow, you know, I'm kind of surprised how much it does grow. And I'm thinking like, wow, like I'm really not that small.
So it does grow. Yeah. And I think sometimes it shrinks. Like I think about George and Seinfeld and George, like I was in the pool when someone walks in and I'm like, I can't. So yeah, that's.
I've always been so self-conscious, you know, when I get out of bed after making love to a woman, you know, I try to make sure I'm at like half mass. So she thinks, you know, I'm bigger than what I am, you know, and I'm probably not the only guy who does that out there.
I think you're right. I think I just know, like I learned that. I don't know how I learned that because I didn't have sex education, but I feel like I just knew that penises shrink back down. Most of them, I feel like they all do pretty much. Maybe some do more than others. I'm trying to think. I guess I don't know. I've never been one to. I got to be honest, and I've had a lot of lovers. I don't even look at it. Like if I'm satisfied you're a good lover, I'm not even focused on it ever. And I don't even remember. I'm not looking at like, what do you look like, big or small? You know, just maybe some women do. Again, we're all different. Some people are more detailed people. I'm just more about how are you as a person holistically, which is a good loving experience. I'm not like focused on that, but I don't know, all Mark, right. And you'll find be with someone who isn't either. Yeah. Or who just, maybe they are and they celebrate it. I don't think that women want so many things from a man and penis size is just like very bottom of the list. And I don't mean for every woman.
Part of the problem is about a week ago, I was listening to one of your shows. It was very interesting. And you were talking about porn. You were saying, you know, there's so many people who get caught up on porn and just that's the way sex should be. And so in my era, as a boy, almost, I was watching it at like 14. And I just kind of assumed that that's how sex was supposed to be. And I think it really resonated with me, like even till today. And I just really had a hard time with it. And that's what played in my head, you know, through all these years with what we're talking about.
Watching porn and thinking like my penis is not that big. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
That makes so much, of course, because that's the only other penis you see. So you say like all penises are like that. Something is wrong with me. Yeah, you're right. You feel a little bit better about it or it's kind of reminded you that
absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. You got it. Do people actually get penis extensions? Like I haven't even checked into it because I've got the fear of God. I've got a corporate computer, so I just don't want to check into that stuff.
I mean, you could get a penis extender or a dildo. Like you put it over your penis. It's like a dildo that you can like put over your penis that makes it extend a bit. I've never heard anyone use it, to be honest, but that does exist. I just think you could get a dildo, use that on your partner. Are you with somebody right now?
I am. And like, I'm really in love with her and I like to think vice versa. And I got to say for a 54-year-old man, I have got the testosterone of a 16-year-old and like,
amazing.
I could make love like 3 times a day, every day if I could. And my spouse is so sexy. Like I can't even look at her when she takes off her clothes because she looks so gorgeous. And she's a fitness instructor. So she's in amazing shape. And so I just have to be cautious sometimes because she doesn't want to make love as much. And she sort of cites it as her being dry. And so she's not as aroused, I think, with her age perhaps as well. But I'd like to hear some advice on sort of how to increase sexual encounters with her.
Really, it's a case-by-case basis, but for many women, what's preventing us from wanting to have sex is that we're not aroused. And that usually comes from releasing anxiety, getting a massage, warming up, feeling that, you know, maybe having an emotional connection. Maybe for her, it's helping you help around the house or giving her compliments or having a connection. And then it starts slow and you start to kiss her and warm her up. But I think it's the kind of thing you should ask her what she wants to get in the mood. A lot of women don't know. So I'm trying to you know, give you some advice here, but like I that's kind of what works for a lot of women. But have you ever talked about it with her? Asked her what works?
Not enough, to be honest with you. And I'm going to have the conversation with her. And you've really opened up my eyes to vibrators. And you know, I've been so traditional in the past that it just and I'm like the gentleman said on the phone. He said, you know, too many guys have egos, and they don't want to introduce that into the bedroom because they feel that they're being replaced. And that's how I always felt through the years. So I'm not sure what else to tell me to sort of raise my comfort level on that, to introduce that.
Oh, using a toy? I mean, I think that for many women, they're just it's like, it's just your penis doesn't vibrate. And vibrators can hit different areas internally that penises just can't, no matter how big it is. And in fact, for most women, the thing about vibrators is that you can control it and you can hit these spots on your inner vaginal wall, like on your pubic, like where you're, you know, out, like we do the come hither motion with your fingers and you're going towards the... A penis can't really even hit that.
I did use that a couple weeks back, and I got to say, it worked like a charm. What you just said, yeah.
Good. Oh, you use that motion, the come hither motion with your fingers?
Yes.
Great. I love it. That's how you can find it for a lot of women, but you're feeling around. The penis doesn't vibrate. It doesn't have that pinpoint precision. So I think what you have to remember too is I love when my partner uses toys on me or we use them together. The vibrations can feel great on your penis as well and all over your body, your nipples, you know, your neck, your shaft. I mean, it's just, we think it's like just for the females. But think of it like a fun toy that you bought for both of you. And then for you using it on her, I think you're going to see that you're still giving her pleasure. She's not saying, I mean, maybe if she has a limiting belief around toys, like, oh, it wasn't really him, it was a toy, but I'm just happy I get there. I'm just happy that things feel good. So what toys have you got? Have you used toys together yet or you haven't?
No. In fact, I've never done it.
Oh, well, I would go out. I mean, I would talk to her about it. There's some great toys out there. Jeju makes they make a couples kit. And Jeju makes toys that are really, it's J-E-J-O-U-E, and it's a couples kit. And I believe it comes with a cock ring and a clitoral stimulator. WeVibe makes some great toys too for couples. There's the Chorus, which you could use together. It's like a wearable vibrator, but you can use it in different ways. But I would talk to her first and say, I'd love to see you really turned on. Let's go shopping together. Let's buy a toy, you know? But that belief that it's going to replace you is common, but I feel like it's going away. Like people are realizing that, oh, once they try it, I got to be honest, Mark, once someone tries a toy, they've never called me and said, why did you tell me to buy a toy that ruined my relationship? Usually it's like, holy shit, why haven't I been doing this my whole life? So,
okay.
I would have a polite conversation with her. All right. Yeah. That's how it is, Mark.
Okay.
So let me know. Go.
Thank you very much, Emily.
Okay. Bye, Mark. Have a great night. Thanks for calling. All right. This is from T55. Dear Dr. Emily, my wife is in her mid-50s and sex has been very rough for a while. We have tried lubes in the past, but they've been mediocre. I do believe they will work, but we need to use a good brand. Also, I'd like to get her a vibrator. What would you suggest for a first timer that won't scare her off, but will be a good entry level vibrator? All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that sex has been rough for a while. You came to the right place. As we get older, for vulva owners, we tend to have a loss of estrogen, vaginal atrophy. And so for many people, this can cause pain. What happens is during menopause and perimenopause, which if you guys don't know, that's the stage in your life where you stop having your monthly period. Normal part of aging marks the end of your reproductive years, which is probably fine to you. Doesn't sound like you're trying to get pregnant. And usually menopause occurs in your late 40s to early 50s, and perimenopause can happen, you know, a lot earlier. And so what happens during menopause is that essentially our ovaries are no longer producing high levels of hormones, estrogen and progesterone, as well as testosterone. So as we have a loss of estrogen, you know, that's what actually is keeping the lining of your bladder and urethra healthy. So what I would recommend is that she can go get her hormones tested and see what is happening with the rough. It sounds like maybe she's a little bit dry. So, you know, women, as a result of all this loss of hormones, they get drier. And so I would use an excellent lube. Water-based lube would be great. We love Pure Lube, P-J-U-R. They have a woman's formula that you could also try to make sure that, you know, lube on every nightstand. Just leave your lube out and use it every time. Apply, reapply. Can never use too much lube. An entry-level vibrator that might be interesting if she's never used one before would be something that goes like in the palm of your hand, like a WeVibe Touch. But also, I need to tell you about Tabu. It's T-A-B-U, and it is an incredible sexual wellness brand that was developed by a mother and daughter team. Essentially, they make a sexual wellness kit that comes with a massager and this wonderful organic lubricant. It's a beautiful kit, and this might make her feel good as well because it's not like you're getting her a vibrator that might not, if she's never used one before. It's a healing lubricant, and the massager warms up And then she can use it a few times a week with the organic lubricant, and it's just really healing to the vaginal tissues. It can help with blood flow. It can also help with pain, and it can also help with orgasms. Literally, it could give you an orgasm, but also just the practice of massaging this warm massager with a lubricant can help to heal the tissue and make sex hurt less. So I think the taboo would be great to not scare her off, because you can also use it internally or externally. And it's just a beautiful box. It's a great gift. Everyone should check it out at heytaboo.com, T-A-B-U. So this is from Eric, 37, in Northern Michigan. Hey, Dr. Emily, what you do is amazing. Anyway, I recently started masturbating with olive oil and it's amazing. I have an intact foreskin and I have no issues with any type of irritation. I would very much like to provide this type of stimulation to a partner, and I'm wondering if a woman would have an issue with getting olive oil into her vagina. The last thing I would want would be to cause irritation, and it's also a great way to kill the mood. If olive oil will be an issue, then I'm looking for a safe alternative. And if there's a magic lube that behaves like olive oil and doesn't taste like a chemical spill, let me know. So in summation, I'm looking for a lube for all types of sex simultaneously, maximum slippery, safe for penetration, and a neutral flavor. Great question, Eric. Listen, if you want to use olive oil for masturbation and it feels good, you know, olive oil is definitely, people use it in their skin and they use it on their hair. And so I think it's pretty safe for you externally. For the vagina, it can cause vaginal infections like a yeast infection. It also clogs your pores of your skin. If you don't wash it off right after, it can cause your skin to break out. And it also messes up the sheets. I don't recommend olive oil. Sorry to be a buzzkill there, Eric, but keep using it on your own. And so, yeah, right? The perfect lube, really slippery, you know, lasts a long time. I would say that a neutral flavored lube could also just be a silicone lube. Just a plain up silicone lube has one ingredient, which is why we love the Pure Lube, P-J-U-R. You don't have to reapply it as much. It lasts a long time and it has a very neutral flavor. Coconut oil, if you're into the oils, could also be great for this situation. I love the Foria lube, has just coconut oil and CBD. And I also love Woo More Play. That's a really great coconut oil, but I would start with the Foria or the Pure Silicone. And I think you're really going to like the silicone for your masturbation sessions as well. Okay, let me know what you land on. And thanks for your email. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this episode, they will too. Find me at Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you'd like to ask me a question about sex or dating relationships, email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many great articles diving deep into topics like, how do I have multiple orgasms? How do I last longer in bed? How do I stop thinking about my ex? What sex toys should I try? And so much more. Sign up for weekly emails. I've been told I give really good emails. I do. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.